podcast from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Office of National Mission. This is God's Mission Here.
Welcome back to God's Mission Here, a podcast of the Office of National Mission. I'm the Reverend Dr. Heath Trampy, Director of Discipleship Ministry for the Office of National Mission. And today I am joined by Reverend Derek Mathers, who is the Mission Executive of the English District of the LCMS. Now, Pastor Mathers, I'm going to read just a little bit more from this bio you provided because you have a very fascinating life, and I think the hearers would appreciate this. Pastor Mathers has been an associate pastor at St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Mississauga, Ontario, Canada, since 2019. But prior to that, and currently, he is assistant to the bishop and mission executive for the English District of the LCMS, which means he's a pastor to many pastors. And one of my favorite parts of the bio is this description. Pastor Mathers is a passionate disciple of Jesus who wants to make disciples who can make disciples. He has served as a pastor at St. Luke's in Toronto, at congregations in Saskatchewan, Beamsville, and Mitchell. Born in Edmonton, he grew up in Minnesota and Okinawa, Japan, but came back to Canada to go to Brock University, where he met and married Deb. Welcome, Pastor Mathers, to the podcast.
Thank you.
I usually don't read the bios, but yours is so fascinating. And we are going to be talking about Connect to Disciple today, and hopefully that'll be a fruitful discussion for the listeners. But before we get into that material, I would love to hear a little bit about your role with the English District and maybe a little bit about the English District itself.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to go into the whole history of the English District, but the English District did start because the LCMS was at a point where they thought German was the only language to use. And so a group of LCMSers formed the English Synod. And when finally that language conflict was alleviated, then the English Synod came and said, well, there's no reason for us to be separate. And so we became a non-geographical district of the Synod. That's the short version. The English Synod brought with it the English Witness magazine. And so that's something that we take some pride in as a district. The English District currently exists in 22 different states and the province of Ontario, Canada. We're numbering about 162, 163 congregations, and we speak over 20 different languages throughout our congregations. The English District is unique in that it's a district without boundaries or borders, and we take advantage of that. Now, that can be nuanced two ways. One is geographically, we have no boundaries or borders, but also in terms of Christ's work. We have no limits to the opportunities that we can explore, which some of our geographical brothers may have some struggles with. So it's a unique position to be. We're also very confessional and very biblical confessional, whichever way we want to put that one. But it's a good body.
One thing that's always fascinated me about your role is that you live in Canada, correct?
Yes.
And you serve churches in California. How far to the east do you travel?
Oh, well, we have churches in Florida, California, Arizona, up to Pembroke, Ontario, which is the most northern part. That's north of our national capital of Ottawa, and out to New York City.
That's just amazing.
It is a real variety. We have four regions, and in the four regions, the ministries are all different because the context is different. And one of the things that we have to be aware of as a district is we deal with all these different contexts. Some are language, some are cultural. Ministry in California is different than ministry in Milwaukee. You know, and then the Canadian context, of course, is different again. So in terms of making disciples, we make sure that we're focused on the Word of God and the message of the gospel. And then we, as Paul said, try to contextualize it, being all things to all people, whatever their context is.
Yeah, I can appreciate that. So one reason I was excited to have you on the podcast is you have been very involved with Revitality offerings, which is kind of what this whole season is about this time around. Everyone has witnessed the CADS, Congregational Assessment of Development Decline Status, Congregational Self-Survey that we mentioned in episode one. If you could here, before we get into Connect to Disciples specifically, just share a little bit about your experience with these offerings, Revitality and so on.
I happen to believe that they are of great benefit to congregations that are open to receiving them. And you can have a wonderful offering of education and biblical truth, and people won't hear it. For whatever reason, they're resistant to the discussion at all. But when they're open to it, when they're humble enough to receive what might be and to consider it for the context of their ministry, then it's very positive and can give them a direction. None of this material and revitality is like a consultant coming in telling you what to do. It is all, here are things for you to consider in your context. You can't just do them as they're presented. You need to contextualize them. So it calls for some extra work on the part of anybody who puts these tools into use.
Yeah, Revitality, in some ways, it's kind of like a home gym. It'll absolutely produce results, but you got to use it. You have to be faithful to the process, too.
And that's a great way to put it. That really
I appreciate that. One thing that I want to just share here before we get into Connect a Disciple is the difference between witness and outreach. And in episode two, Mark Wood gave sort of a brief description, and I thought I would offer that just because this is something I've been teaching regularly. And I want to just make the distinction between witness, which would be evangelism, everyone is witness kind of activity, and outreach, which we would consider to be more of a collective congregational effort. And that would be more of the connected disciples. So witness, the word witness refers to our individual efforts to speak of Jesus with non-churched. And by non-churched, we mean unchurched people, de-churched people in our everyday lives. Outreach refers to our collective efforts to the non-churched through ministries, services, events, and other activities that we do as a congregation. And through this, we really are inviting and including people into our word and sacrament ministry. Is that a fair description of those two terms?
That is really very accurate. I appreciate that.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much. So you would be the one to share this because this is your, proper work day to day. How does a congregation know when it's time to focus on outreach?
Unfortunately, most of the time it's when there's a crisis. A lot of the use of revitality is crisis driven. We're our numbers are dropping, our finances are declining, we're not seeing the next generation attending worship, and it's then they start looking for possible resources. Mm-hmm. And of course the church consultation offerings from different agencies is varied and often expensive.
Yeah.
And so we don't offer revitality as a sure fit, we promise results. We offer it as here are things for you to consider that will strengthen your understanding of these aspects of your ministry. You put them into place and you put them into action, but we can't do that for you. That's why I said Revitality is not about coming in and being a consultant and giving you prescriptions. It is about sharing with you the way that God has kind of brought things together, giving you a process that can be of benefit to you as a congregation, but it's your effort and God's work and blessing that will bring whatever God designs out of that.
For congregations that might listen to this and say, gosh, that sounds really nice. I think we could use that, but I don't know if we can afford to bring somebody in from the outside. I don't know if we can adhere to somebody else's timetable. It's nice to know that these things are available at no cost from the Office of National Mission, and they are done on the congregation's timetable. They are self-directed. And so it really is just a matter of starting it, and it'll guide you along the process.
Yeah. No, it's a valuable resource that we're not aware of, and our congregations aren't aware of it.
Yeah, and hopefully we can make that a little better in the future for sure. So, Pastor, Connect to Disciple has a four-part process, and I want to just state here at the outset that really outreach doesn't need to be complicated, but because people's lives are often complicated, it is good to be deliberate in the way that we seek to do our outreach. And so the four-part process in the Connect to Disciple materials is to build awareness, to create connections, to nurture relationships, and to make disciples. And I guess before maybe we get into the specifics, do you have any thoughts about that four-part process?
Oh, yeah. I mean, having an awareness of the four-part process is really beneficial because we often count the wrong things. Building awareness isn't just handing out a flyer. Building awareness is inviting people to events or to activities of the congregation to then create the connection. It's not a formal process. It's a very informal process. I know when I did some youth ministry and we did outreach in neighborhoods, we would do door-to-door canvassing. One of the first questions we would ask was, have you heard of this congregation? Mm-hmm. And the number of people who live four blocks away from the church saying, oh, no, I don't even know where that church is. That's the lack of awareness.
Right.
So building the awareness is the first step. And we can do that informally and just as opportunity comes. It can be as easy as putting up a sign that somebody driving by would see, or it can be as detailed as actually going and knocking on doors. But building the awareness is the first step. People need to know who you are, mm-hmm. and a little bit about what you're about. Okay.
Yeah.
Having a lawn sale is not building awareness, okay? unless, and this is a word that's used often in Connect to Disciple, being intentional about it.
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be an intentionality to Connect to Disciple that doesn't exist if we just have a lawn sale or a garage sale or whatever you want to call it. But that being the first step, then leads into creating connections. And creating connections is more than, hi, I'm so-and-so and you're so-and-so. It's actually getting information from them so that you can reconnect with them later or invite them to other events through the internet, an email address, a phone number, you know, whatever. But that's creating the connection. And that's an information exchange.
And it sounds pretty simple.
It is. It's really simple, but you got to be intentional about it. Because, you know, I know when I was in the parish and we would have a lawn sale, I would meet hundreds of people.
Mm-hmm.
But I hadn't created connections.
Yeah.
I just shook their hand and welcomed them to the church. And that was awareness. But it wasn't creating connections.
And they thought, wow, what a nice man.
Yeah. You know, a nice guy he is. And I don't even remember his name. The create connections one is actually awesome because that's a part of this process of connecting to disciple that you get to know them, they get to know you.
Yeah.
But you've got the connections to do that and to follow through and follow up. That leads into nurturing relationships. Now you can't be friends with everybody. So this part is led by the person that you've created the connection with. Okay, or that God has created the opportunity for you to create the connection with.
Mm-hmm.
And then as they contact you and you say, hey, would you like to go for coffee?
Yeah.
Hey, would you like to come to, you know, whatever? Would you like to spend some time just chatting on the phone?
Right.
It's that nurtures the relationship.
Yeah.
But the nurturing of the relationship involves a lot of listening. They'll ask you questions, but only when they ask you questions do you give them information. They have to be the ones leading it for the relationship to build in a comfortable way for them.
Right.
And then the relationship leads naturally into making disciples or discipleship, depending on how it's focused. Would you like to come to church with me? That's a natural thing. Somebody you have a relationship with, you might ask.
Yep.
Right? Would you, there's this turkey dinner at our church this week. Would you like to go with me?
Yep.
Right? And they come and they hear maybe a devotion, or they meet other Christians, and you start to develop a deeper, more extended relationship. So,
right.
But making disciples has the end point. So what do you count? What do we value? Mm-hmm. Well, I encourage congregations to count how many opportunities did you have to build awareness?
Yep.
How many people did you create connections to? How many people are relationships being nurtured with specifically? And you leave the making disciples to God.
Yeah, as your proper work.
It's his word. Yes, he reaches out. So those are the things that I encourage congregations and our mission grant congregations and ministry to count. Not how much money did you bring in, not how many people are attending church, how many people did you make contacts with, awareness and nurturing relationships.
Yeah, I really appreciate that, because you're doing this work at the district level, and you're seeing that produce fruit. The verse that comes to my mind, 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 8, I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the growth. And so we can't measure the Holy Spirit. We can't measure what he's doing in our congregation. It's great if we're seeing more people in church and more people in Bible study, but that's not always possible. But we can measure our faithful efforts, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I wanted to share for those who are listening and going, this is really hitting home for me. There's a lot of things a church can do to make themselves feel very busy, and it may not be creating connections or nurturing relationships. And Pastor Mathers said that in his explanation, things like handing out water bottles with your church's name at the local parade, awesome thing to do. But until you're getting that lasting contact with the person, it really isn't outreach all by itself. It can be a beginning to outreach. And I think you had mentioned a yard sale. I always think of our trunk or treat, where we would, that was probably the biggest thing we did every year numerically. But until we started actually getting contact information from people, we really weren't able to follow up very much. And we were just that nice church that gave candy, and you knew you could trust them, that kind of situation. So,
well, there are lots of ways to create awareness, build awareness.
Yes.
And they're all valid, and they're all and can all be successful. But it's being intentional to create the connections that takes the effort.
Yeah, intentionality is absolutely the word. The one that I feel kind of straddles a couple of different categories is social media. And this is just kind of my personal bent. Social media can be used to build awareness, absolutely. But it can also be used to create connections if it's done in a certain way. And so I would encourage congregations that are on, let's say, Facebook to think about, how can I be deliberate in the way I am making a connection with this person that either is in my community, but they don't go to my church, or maybe it's somebody I don't even know. Facebook can be an awesome avenue for that kind of work.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the big things in Connect to Disciple is the creation of outreach pathways. And I'm curious, would you be able to provide an example or more than one example of an outreach pathway for the listeners?
Well, again, we're back to intentionality. Hopefully you're creating an avenue by which people can move from awareness to connection to relationship to discipling. And so that pathway can be really varied. Again, it depends on the context, because you creating a building the awareness, creating that moment, you can then invite to provide information. There's a path. We invite you to provide us with more information so we can let you know what else we're doing. And maybe some of those things will be of interest to you. They're the pathway. Then from creating connections, it's saying, okay, we have a mother's group. We have a men's group. We have, and you can, those are more paths to getting deeper into the relationship aspect. Believe it or not, I think there's power, especially for men, in not inviting them to come to a coffee time, but inviting men to come and hammer.
Okay.
If you say, we're going to be working on our lawn. Are you interested in gardening? We could really use your help in preparing our beds for the summer. So this would be a time to have a yard cleanup or whatever, and invite the men that you have connections with to come. Men talk when they're working.
Yep.
Women talk over coffee. I'm not trying to be a generalist, but
not exclusively, but you're right. There is a pattern.
Yeah. Yeah. And so there's openness. So the pathway needs to be intentional, but focused on the needs of the person that are coming and the interests of the person that are coming.
Yep.
Going from relationships then into discipleship or making disciples, that is really the movement of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We can open the door. We can invite.
Yep.
We could have a home. If we have a home Bible study, we can invite them to come to our home group. If there's a special event taking place at the church, pastor's going to do an opening devotion. That's part of that lightweight, but still it draws in that direction. That's a path. If there's a special event of celebration at the congregation, it's the congregation's 80th anniversary, right? Inviting them to come with you to that. And when I say come with you, I don't mean just come attend. I mean, come sit with me.
Yeah.
Come be in relationship with me.
Be my guest, be my friend.
As we wish. Yeah, be my personal guest. And afterwards, I'll take you out for lunch. Mm-hmm. You don't have to say that part, but you know.
But you could.
It does build relationships and does create opportunity. Mm-hmm. The making disciples part that really starts to click is when the person that you've developed this relationship with, who is now your friend, starts to ask you questions about God, about Jesus, about baptism, about the Bible. And then the door, floodgates just open for growing deeper, and the Spirit moves when that word is spoken.
Yeah. Yeah, so well said. In each of the congregations I served, and I have a very different kind of view coming into this, because I'm thinking of the congregations I've served as pastor, and you serve many, many congregations as a mission executive and a congregation as pastor as well. But I've found that the comparison can often be a thief of joy. And yes. So I've served in communities where we are much smaller than the other Missouri Synod churches in town. I've also served in communities where we're maybe the largest church, Missouri Synod, in town, but some of the other churches just are doing things much better than we are in the community. And what I love about Connect to Disciple is it doesn't ask you to pick from the best of what you're seeing across town. Through these fruitful conversations and dialogues and exercises, you're coming up with what your congregation can do in the community. And one of the things you have to do is say, does our community need this? So if the other church in town has an amazing food pantry and you want to do a food pantry, yeah, maybe you could join in with them and be part of what they're doing, but maybe the community doesn't need that because it's a need that's being addressed. So we can look to other avenues of service, or again, partner with that other church and do the thing that we're excited about, but do it with them because they're already doing it so very well.
And there's the context.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think a lot of this is knowing your context, both congregationally and community-wise. If you're in a city like St. Louis, which is very large, you're going to have different opportunities and restrictions than if you're in a town of 200, like the one I grew up in. It's just a very different kind of situation. So looking at a St. Louis church and you know, sitting in the cornfields of Nebraska, you might go, but I wish we could do that. And they might be looking at you going, you know, you've got some advantages that we don't have either. So I think it's really cool to think about how each church is unique and each church can have its own pathways.
Mm-hmm.
So as a mission executive, when would you recommend Connect to Disciple to a pastor and a congregation?
I would recommend it to all of them. I really don't think that there's a prime time. I think that the reality is crisis tends to get congregations to look at what's out there. But I think of a good practice is to always be open to what is already out there and just to explore it.
Yep.
Here's what I find happens. The congregation as a whole may not respond with high levels of energy when they go through a Connected Disciple workshop or they do it within their congregation. But there will be one or two And I call them keeners.
Oh, nice.
They've gotten hooked. They see the possibility. They want to take it the next step. And if we're good at being equipping leadership, we release them to run with it.
Yep.
With the church's blessing, but also with the church, you know, guiding and being part of it.
Yeah.
Right? And their passion will ignite other people's passion.
Yeah.
And it may be just a small group or it may expand to a larger group, but it's God's spirit moving in God's people to do God's work.
Yeah. I love that answer. And it absolutely is true to my experience as well. You get a couple of, you call them keeners in your congregation You can move mountains by the grace of God. It's pretty amazing. Now, I wanted to just share briefly how congregations can look into Connect to Disciple. We're going to have some links in the show notes where you can click and it'll take you right to where you need to go to access all information you would need to get started. If you'd like to reach out to the International Center, the Office of National Mission, or me, Heath Trampy, directly, we'll be happy to get you connected. If you're in the English District and you'd like to contact Pastor Mathers, I'm sure he'd be happy to guide you in the right direction as well. Again, the self-directed module is free of charge. It's a cost of time, but it's not a financial cost at all. And it's about 6 sessions, which a congregation can go through as quickly or as slowly as they would like. It's going to be different for everybody. I did want to mention, just in case I forget, there is a book through Concordia Publishing House that covers a lot of the same material, but it's condensed and it's meant to be read from your easy chair. You could even study it with a small group or on Sunday mornings as a church. And it's called Meaningful Outreach, An Essential Guide for Churches by Reverend Dr. Mark Wood. I would just highly recommend that book to anybody that would like to know more. We would also be happy to send you some samples if your congregation is interested, but you don't know if you're going to be able to do it soon or you want to show some things to some people. Feel free to ask us for samples and we'll send you a couple things that might be able to get your congregation interested in this work. Pastor Mathers, as we wrap things up, is there anything else you'd like to share? Words of encouragement, any wisdom you'd like to share with the hearers?
I think what I'd like to share is that the encouragement to consider, to explore, to not limit ourselves to this is the only way to do it as we have, you know, done it in the past. Our world is changing. The context is changing. The Word of God is not changing. And the message of forgiveness and salvation through Jesus Christ is the same. People still need to hear it. We need to go meet them where they're at.
Yeah. Extremely well said. Yeah, the Word of God never changes. It never returns empty. But the world around us is ever-changing. And this is a wonderful way to address it faithfully and with intentionality.
Yes.
Well, Pastor Mathers, it has been a great joy to have you on the podcast today. I knew it would be, but it was wonderful to have this conversation. I look forward to many good conversations with you in the future. And just again, thank you for being our guest today.
Oh, Heath, thank you for asking me. It's been a privilege to talk to God's people and those who aren't God's people about this connected disciple.
Thank you. This has been a podcast of God's Mission Here, which is part of the Office of National Mission.
Thanks for joining us. If you liked what you heard, please leave us a review and don't forget to click the follow or subscribe button so that you don't miss out on upcoming episodes. God's Mission Here is a podcast that discusses Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, and how He delivers those gifts where you live and serve.